I want to talk to you today about how was Jesus raised from the dead? How'd that happen? How did Jesus raise from the dead? That's a good question, is it not? Well, turn with me to Galatians. Guys, you got to follow me. Oh, yeah, it's right there. Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. If you don't have a Bible, or we read out of the New King James Bible, there's a lot of good versions, but you can follow us up on the screen, so you can follow us word for word if you don't have that version. But here's what Paul says. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. All right, that's my sermon. Isaac, you got any more songs to sing? Because we're, okay, I'm just joking. I'm not, okay. But really, it's that simple. How in the world did Jesus raise from the dead? Here's the answer. God raised him from the dead. God raised him from the dead. My first point is that. How did God raise from the dead? How did Jesus raise from the dead? God raised him from the dead. Very, very simple. But I want you to look at a passage. It's in Matthew chapter 11, verse 23. Matthew chapter 11, verse 23. And here's what it says. Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain. Now, let's stop here and let me teach a little bit. There are some interesting words here that I want to go over. First of all, Jesus says, most assuredly. Whenever you see most assuredly in your Bible, the King James says, verily, verily, I say unto you. When you see in the Greek, they didn't have exclamation points. They didn't have any periods, commas, none of that. So to put an exclamation point, Jesus, they'd say it twice. So in the King James, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, saying it twice. He's saying, guys, what I'm telling you, the New King James says, most assuredly, I say unto you. Now, how many know it's impossible for God to lie? How many know Jesus never lied? But he's talking to people, and what he's about to say is something that is so unbelievable that he's got to preface it before and say, guys, what I'm about to tell you is just, guys, I'm about to tell you something that is going to seem unbelievable, but listen to me. I'm telling you the truth. That's why he says, verily, verily, I say unto you. Watch this. Most assuredly, I say to you. Now, here's the other word I want to look at, just incredible. Whoever says to this mountain. Now, what's Jesus saying? Jesus is saying red, yellow, black, and white, you're precious in my sight. I'm not a respecter of persons. It doesn't make any difference. This applies to anyone who applies it. You know, sometimes you ever see this, you know what, it's you know, I don't know why I'm stuck on Derwiener Schnitzel today. Maybe I'm hungry from some hot dogs, but you know, you ever see they have, you know what, it's their 50th anniversary, and everybody who goes to a Derwiener Schnitzel that day gets a free hot dog. Amen? How many know that's not the day to go to Derwiener Schnitzel? But all I'm saying, exactly, Tasty, you know, they all do this, you know what, free ice cream cone or whatever they got going on. It's their anniversary. They're celebrating it. You know what? You get a, you know, a free pancake at the House of Pancakes or whatever it is. But you know what? But anyone gets it if they just, what, show up. I mean, no, you can't call Uber that day and Uber Eats that day and say, hey, they're having that free hot dog. Yeah, you know, send it to me. I mean, no, they're not giving it to you free. Unless you show up. See, anybody gets it if they show up, but they have to show up. Jesus says, most surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain to be removed and cast into the sea, but does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says, it will be done. He will have whatever he says. And you and I look at that and say, huh? Can I tell you, how do you receive the word of God? Listen. I can sit here, and I almost did, and gave you four explanations, hermeneutical, you know what, historical, you know what, physiological proofs that Jesus was raised from the dead, you know what. But the bottom line is, ultimately, after all the facts are given, you can still reject the Jesus raising from the dead. How many know that's true? There are people who saw the supernatural miracles of God done, listen to me, right in front of their face, and after they saw it, they still didn't believe. It's absolutely true. You ever seen something so unbelievable, and you see it, but you think, man, something's going on. That must be some trick. Something's going on there. Hello? You ever hear a story and you know the integrity of the person telling the story, but you still says, man, that's just unbelievable. Because can I tell you what? You have to believe with your heart. You don't believe with your eyes. You don't believe with your ears. Ultimately, you believe with your heart. And this is an unbelievable promise. But here's what I'm telling you. I believe that Jesus is true. And I believe that anyone who speaks to the mountain, be removed, cast in the sea, doesn't doubt in his heart, that those very things that he says, it'll happen. Jesus said it, I believe Jesus. You know what? And it will be done. He will have whatever he says. That's what Jesus said. Now, let me give you the context in which he said this. Let me tell you the story before he said this, because there's a story. And here's what Jesus is doing. He's hungry. And he wants to get something to eat. And he sees this fig tree, and he sees it in a distance, and as he's coming to this fig tree, you know what? When he finally gets the fig tree, he recognizes there's no figs on this tree. So here's what Jesus does. Jesus cursed that fig tree, and here's what he says to that fig tree. He says, no one will ever eat a fruit of this tree. That's kind of weird. Jesus talking to trees. That's weird. You know what I mean? None of the apostles say anything. But the next day, when Peter sees this fig tree, Peter says, whoa! And he remembers what happened the day before. Jesus cursed the fig tree, and the Bible says it was cursed from the root. How many know you can you can chop a tree down, and it's dead, but it looks like it's still alive. The leaves are still green, but in a little time, it only takes, you know what, a day. You'll look at that tree and know, you know, the leaves all be like, right? That's what he sees. And he sees this fig tree that Jesus cursed. And he's tripping out, and he's like, whoa, Jesus, look, guys, look. And then Jesus says, and here's my whole point of my sermon. Here it is. You ready? Then Jesus says something really, really interesting. You know what? It's let me find it. Then Jesus says this in verse 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Now let's follow this. He speaks to this fig tree. It dies. And then, watch this, before Jesus says you can speak to this mountain, anyone can do this, he says this, have faith in God. He's about to tell them something that is so unbelievable, but he has to say this. Guys, have faith in God. Amen. Everybody say, have faith in God. Faith in God. See, who raised Jesus from the dead? Who raised Jesus from the dead? God. Everybody say, God. Okay, but watch this. But Jesus had to trust his Father. Right? Did Jesus not say this? Jesus said, nobody takes my life. I lay it down. Remember the Roman the authority figure, the Roman who said, you know what, he had the authority to kill Jesus. And he's not, you know what? And he's not paying any attention. Jesus isn't paying attention to what he's saying. And he gets into Jesus' face. He says, hey, don't you understand who I am? I have the authority to kill you. You better start talking to me. I'm paraphrasing. Jesus looks at him and says, let me tell you who gave you that authority. My dad gave you that authority. Who's really in charge here? Remember when Jesus was in the garden and he's praying, you know what, God, you know what, if there's any way that this cup can pass from me. And he prays it 3 times. And then after he's done, you know what, when he finally, you know what, after he prays it 3 times, but every time he's saying, you know what, nonetheless, not my will, but your will. And then every time he goes back to the apostles, they're falling asleep. And he's like, hey, guys, we got to go. Where is he going? He says this, my hour has come. He's the one who initiates this. And then remember, they come up to get him. You know, they're all big, bad. They got their swords out. You know what I mean? Just a whole bunch of Roman soldiers come to get Jesus. And Jesus says, you know what, who are you looking for? And they say, Jesus. He says, I'm he. And then the Bible says, they all fell down. They all fell down. They fell back and they fell to the ground, all of them. How many know Jesus, all Jesus had to do was go like this? Hello? How many know this is true? And then Jesus, it's like when you read it, it's like Jesus going back over them saying, hey guys, remember me? Remember you came to get me? Why did that happen? Why does John write that that happened? Here's why. Because it did happen. And it's good for us to understand. Nobody took Jesus' life. He laid his life down. So, who rose Jesus from the dead? God did. But here's what I want to point out to you. Who laid his life down? Everybody say, Jesus did. Jesus laid his life down. That's how come he was able to rise from the dead, because he died. How could God raise somebody from the dead unless they're dead? Ooh, Pastor, that's deep. It is deep. Pastor told this story, and it's a funny story, but let me tell it to you, and don't judge him too bad, because this was way back in the day. But way back in the day, they used to not have those automatic faucets. You know those automatic faucets? You don't have to turn anything on, but you just go there, and it's motion activated. Okay, so he was in an airport, and he goes in one of those restrooms, and he's looking at this faucet, and he thinks, huh? Where are the handles? You know what? You ever gone into a hospital and they have those things and you hit them on the ground so you can wash it? You ever seen that? He's looking on the ground. He can't find it. He can't find it. It doesn't make any sense to him. So he just sits there and he's looking at it, thinking, huh, what in the world is going on here? I want to wash my hands. How am I going to wash my hands? And then some guy comes in and he goes up to the faucet and he just puts his hands in front of the faucet and the water comes out. And he thinks, wow, that's a miracle working guy. And then he goes over to get some towels, and all he does is just put his hand in front of the towel thing, and the towels come out. And he thinks, wow, that's a miracle working guy. And then he thinks, wow, what an incredible thing. So then he gets in front of the faucet and he puts his hands in front of the faucet, and comes out. And he thinks, wow, I'm a miracle working guy. right? And then he goes over to the towels and he puts his hand in front of the towels and it comes out and he thinks, wow, I'm a miracle working guy. And he's walking out. Can I tell you what? How many know neither one of those guys were miracle working guys? How many know anybody who goes in that bathroom? You know what? He says he saw a sign on the way out and he says, everything is motion activated. Can I tell you what? That's the Christian life. That's why Paul says, or that's why James says, don't be just a hearer of the word, but be a doer of the word. See, what raised Jesus from the dead? You know what raised Jesus. God raised Jesus from the dead. But who gave his life to be raised from the dead? Jesus did. Jesus did. See, God says, have faith. Jesus says, you got to have faith in God. Can I be honest with somebody? Could it be that some things aren't going on in our life that God wants us to go on in our life because we won't go in front of the faucet and just wave our hand? I'm asking you, is that possible? Because Jesus says, I'm just telling you what Jesus says, because Jesus says, anyone who says to this mountain, be removed, cast into the sea, won't doubt in his heart, but will believe it, that he will have whatever he says. Now, that's the reality. That's the truth. But who has the faith in God to go ahead and speak to that mountain? Let me tell you something about mountains. I believe that God was using a mountain on purpose. How many know one mountain's bigger than a fig tree? Is that not right? How many know mountains are big things? How many have a big problem in your life? And God, I believe, is speaking to you and he's saying, hey, listen, understand this, that I'm a miracle working God, that if you will put your trust in me, if you will do something, if you'll just believe in me, you know what? You can, just like he said, assuredly I say to you, whoever says to that mountain. Amen. Something else about mountains. How many know mountains have been there for a long time? I remember when I was little, we used to go to my grandparents' house. They live in San Gabriel. And you know those beautiful mountains as you're in San Gabriel. Those mountains were there when I was little. Amen. How many know those mountains are still there? Remember the guy had been, I talked about earlier, he had been dead or had been messed up, jacked up by that pool for 38 years. The woman with the issue of blood, she had had that issue of blood for 12 years and gone all kinds of places to try to get the answer. But at some point, listen to me, somebody God hears me today, at some point in time, you've got to stop going to men and thinking your answer is with men. Here's what the Bible said, and she kept on going to men and she got no answer. Matter of fact, they took her money and she got worse. How many men think they got the answer? Amen. How many ever get, your friends and they tell you what to do? Amen. How many know it doesn't work? Raise your hand if you say that's true. Absolutely true. I don't think you should do this. I think you should do that. I think you should. Well, if you're all so smart, how come it ain't working for you, Jackson? Amen. Can you say amen to this? Amen. But God says, listen, I know I'm going to tell you something, and I know for many of you, you're not going to do it, and here's why you're not going to do it. Not because you can't do it, but because you're not trusting me. And so before he tells them that, here's what he says. Have faith in God. See, think about Jesus as our example. How many know the Bible says we need to act like God? The Bible says to be imitators of God. We need to act like God. How do we act like God? We look at what Jesus did. How many know Jesus was God? So if you look at Jesus and do what he did, how many know you'll be acting like God? What did Jesus do? Ultimately, he knew it was his will to die. Now, death is an important thing. How many know when you die, you talk about out of control. How many know when you die, you're completely out of control? Boom. You're dead. You know what? You don't like wearing pink. You don't think you look good in pink. You know what? and they're getting you ready for your funeral, and they're putting pink on you. You're thinking, unbelievable, I hate pink. But they're going to put pink on you, and everybody's going to walk by and see, oh, look, it, they put a pink shirt on him. And let me tell you something, and you can do nothing about it. You know why you can do nothing about it? Come on, show me how intelligent you are. How come you can do nothing about it? Because you are dead. Because you're dead. See, Pastor, what's the point? Here's the point. That Jesus is our example to give up your life. See, here's what I'm saying to you. God has direction for you in His Word and through His Spirit on how to run your life. But we're so busy running our life that we can't allow God to run our life. And the Bible says, have faith in God. Amen. And if you put your trust in God and run your life the way He tells you to run your life, guess what? Here's what Jesus said. If you gain your life, you're going to lose it. But if you lose your life, you're going to gain it. So Jesus goes to the cross, gives up His life, and is completely, has no control. The only control, listen to me, the only control Jesus has is either to do what God says or not to do what God says. Can I tell you what? That's the only control you have. Someone is going to run your life. The only question is, who's going to run your life? Now, let me tell you what. In my younger days, you know what? I didn't listen to God. I thought I knew how to do it. You know what? I thought I knew what was best. I knew what God said, but I just didn't want anyone telling me what to do. I know nobody can relate. Look at your neighbor and say, I don't even know what he's talking about. See, some of you couldn't even say it to your neighbor, amen? You're like, I can't even say that, okay? But you know what? But let me ask you this. How did that go for you, amen? Because let me tell you how it worked for me. It didn't go. And listen, the Bible says sin is pleasurable for a season. There's a time and you're in your car and you got the windows rolled down and it's a nice summer day and you got Mick Jagger blasting and you don't care what God is doing. Did I say Mick Jagger? Okay. How many know even Mick Jagger knows that you can't get no satisfaction? Is this not true? From the heart, the mouth speaks. How many know Mick Jagger can have, you know what, any car he wants, you know what, he's all kinds of women, all kinds of drugs, you know what, can stay in nice hotels, all this stuff, but Mick Jagger, from the heart, the mouth sings, speaks and it sings, you know what? I can't get no satisfaction. And you know the truth. You know what? He says, you know what? But I try. See, and I try. And what do? I try, 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 try. But I can't get no. Hey. See, he's passionate about it. He can't get no satisfaction. And neither can you get any satisfaction. Because Jesus said, if you keep your life, you're going to lose your life. Let me tell you how to have a good life. Give your life. Well, here, let me tell you how to have a good life. You know what? Die to yourself. Amen. Stop thinking that you control it. Stop thinking you can. Stop thinking you, stop here. My dad used to tell me this. He said, you know what, Drew? Don't get too big for your britches. He told me that 100 times. I said, he'd come in my room and he'd say, you know what? Don't get too big for your britches. Amen. He'd come in my room, wake me up in the morning. Can you imagine this, Isaac? He'd come in my room and acted like he had a trumpet. You know what I mean? And he'd go, bum 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 bum. And then I'm like, ah! And then he'd go, exactly. Bum 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 bum. My dad was awesome. I love my dad. My dad was a bomb. My dad had the joy of the Lord inside. You know what? He had, anyway. But he used to tell me, you know what? Don't get too big for your britches. Can I tell you something? And I'm not trying to be critical to any of you, but I'm trying to walk in love to you. You know what? This is a message that God has for us today. We need to not get too big for our britches. We need to recognize that God loves us. But if we control our lives, you know why so many people don't come to Christ? Can I tell you why? Because there is no way you can, a rose by any other name is still a rose. Let me tell you what Christianity is about. Christianity is about you get Jesus' life and all your sin is covered, washed away, gone. But can I tell you about the Christian life? The Christian life is then you give Christ your life. And for many of us, we don't want to do that. Can I tell you how come that is so foolish? Because God loves you more than you love you. Here's what the Bible says. That he's got plans for you and therefore a hope and a future. The smartest thing that any of us would do is do what Jesus Christ did. Lay our life down. Why don't we? Jesus told you. Have faith in God. We have to trust that God is going to know and do the very best for us. Ultimately, our sin is the same sin that Eve had. What was Eve's sin? Eve's sin was she didn't believe that God was a good God. Satan was able to lie to her and say, no, let me tell you what. God is God keeping things from you. If you eat this fruit, you'll all of a sudden know something more than God knows. In other words, Satan said, here's what God is. God is ultimately keeping something from you. Can I tell you about God? Here's what the Bible says. He didn't even withhold from you his son. Hello? And then it says, you know what? He's not going to keep anything else good from you. Are you learning something? Okay. I'm going to go over one more thing and then I'm going to stop. Come on. That was so weak. No, wait. Let me bait you first. I'm going to go over one more thing and then I'm going to stop. Better. Little coerced, but still better. Romans chapter 8. Guys in the back, it's on my fourth point. Romans chapter 8, verses 31. Look at this up on the screen. What shall we say to do these things? Actually, let me go to that passage, because let me teach there for just a bit. Romans chapter 8. Guys, you got to flow with me, because I'm going to back up a little bit. Romans chapter 8, verse, let me start with, yeah, exactly, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. See, guys, relax. God's got this. All things. Oh, I'm so worried. Hey, how's that worrying working out for you? Amen? See, put your trust in God. Relax. Look at your neighbor, say, relax. Look at your other neighbor, say, put your trust in God. All things are going to work out. Just relax. Put your trust in God. Stop taking control. Because when you don't put your trust in God, you start taking control back and you start making bad decisions. Listen to me. Bad choices, bad life. Ever say bad choice is bad life?
Look, I don't know why my life is so jacked up.
Well, here's a good question. Here's why your life is jacked up. Because you make so many bad choices. Oh, come on. You're all like, man, I don't know what you're talking about. Your little halos. I don't know what you're talking about. We all know what I'm talking about. How many made some bad choices? It's your choices that you make that have consequence in your life. Put your faith in God. Trust Him. Let Him direct your life. We know. Why? Because we know that all things work together for good. For good for those who are called, for those who love God. Do you love God?
Yes.
Put your trust in Him. You know what the Bible says? How you prove that you love God? You're obedient to Him. Amen. How many remember when you were young? Come on, you ain't that old. Thank you, too. How many remember when you thought you knew more than your parents know? How many old enough to recognize your parents were a lot smarter than you thought they were? Amen. Older I got, the smarter my parents got. How many know God's that way? God's smarter than we are. His ways, the Bible says, are higher than our ways. But we don't put our trust in God. We don't believe that God's got the thing ordered, that we got this, you know, so we take control back. It's when we take control back that we start making bad choices and bad decisions. For we know that though all things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called to His purpose. Next verse, watch this. For whom we foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the image of God. Now, let me just take the time. For whom He foreknew. Everybody say foreknow. Okay. God doesn't predestine some to heaven and some to hell. Somebody say amen. Okay. Notice the order. This is good hermeneutics. Pay attention, somebody. He foreknew first. When I go, you know what, we go out to eat, the waitress comes by, she says, you know what kind of salad dressing would you like? And my wife says, blue cheese. How many know my wife is not predestined me to have blue cheese? My wife foreknew that I was going to say blue cheese. How many know God knows things before you make it? Don't be confused. God doesn't force you to do anything. Amen. Amen. Look at the order. What is He predestining you to? Here's what He's predestining you to. To be conformed to the image of God. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, you know what? I'm looking more like Jesus every day. Come on, get some attitude. I'm looking more like Jesus every day. Is this good? Are you learning something? Watch this. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Next verse. Moreover, whom He predestined, that He also called. Whom He called, He also justified. Whom He justified, He also glorified. That's talking about you. Somebody say amen. Next verse. Watch this. What did we shall say to these things? All these awesome things that God has done and He's going to do in your life, you don't need to worry about it. You need to just put your trust in God. And then Paul says, if God is for us, who can be against us? See, listen, amen. This is not saying, you know what? He's not saying, well, is God for you? Well, if He's for you, don't worry about it. But I don't think He's for you. That's not what He's saying. It's a rhetorical question. Is this making sense? He's using an argument to say, guys, what are you worried about? God is on your side. What shall we say to these things? I've already told you God has it. So if God is for you, come on. Amen. We need to act like Rocky sometimes. Amen. Remember when Mr. T was beating the lights out? Remember this? First round, just beating them up. And at some point in time, the light went on in Rocky's Come on, how you, yeah, acting like you're not old enough to remember Rocky. You know, stop it. I know you're old enough. Okay, if you're too young, get on the internet. It's great movie. Okay, anyway, here's my point. At some point in time, at some round, Rocky recognized this guy's a bad dude, but he can't knock me out. Remember that? And he said, what did he say? He said, you ain't so bad. Amen. Remember this? That's what we need to say to an enemy. You ain't so bad. If God is for me, who can be against me? Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'll close with one more verse. And yeah, see, now you're getting better. I'll close with one more verse. But listen, David said the same thing. This is in Psalms chapter 43, verse 5. It's the same thing. And here's what David recognized. Wow, what here? All eyes up here. David's recognized, what's my problem? Why am I depressed? Why am I defeated? Why do I think my marriage isn't going to... Guys, why do we think that our marriage isn't going to turn around? And here's why. Because it's been so jacked up for so long. Can I remind you? Mountain? Can I remind you 38 years? Can I remind you 12 years? I don't think it's ever going to change. Well, let me say something to you. Have faith in God. I don't think I'm ever going to get out of debt. I don't think my kids are ever going to come to the Lord. I don't think, you know, when I'm ever, whatever your whatever he is, get out of it. Amen. Stop crying in your Cheerios. All you get is soggy Cheerios. God is for you. Amen. Who can be against you? David comes up and he recognizes, why am I so downcast? Oh, my soul, my will, my mind, my emotions. Sometimes your emotions just grab you and pull you down to the mud. And David's saying, why am I like this? What's going on? Watch this. Why so downcast, oh, my soul? I love this. And why are you so disquieted within me? Hope in God. Hope in God. One version says, put your trust in God. Guys, can I tell you what? We're working way too hard. We're worried about things we don't need to worry about. We're concerned about things that we don't need to be concerned about. And all we have to do is remind ourselves the promises that God says. He says, let me tell you what. I can do all things. I'll close with this. I can do all things. Yes, I can do all. Not I can do all things, period. Yes, God is saying in that verse, I can do all things. God's not saying that. You know who's saying that? A man is saying that. Apostle Paul said that. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See? Assuredly. I mean, I've been closing a long time, huh? Can you give me 5 more minutes? How many give me 5 minutes? Okay. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. Praise God. We got this. Amen? We got this. Okay. Watch this. All I'm saying is, let's put our trust in God. You know what? We're worrying about things we don't have to worry about. You do need to put your trust in God. Let me go back to the original text. For assuredly I say to you, whoever, see, you know why you don't say, you know why you don't speak to those things, those mountain things that have been in your life, that have been there so long? You know why you don't speak to those and cast those in and see? Here's why. Because you don't trust in God. Does that make sense? I'm not trying to be negative. I'm trying to get it in the positive. But how many know today is the first day of the rest of your life? Yes. How many know one word from God can change your life? Yes. You can walk out of here and think, man, I tell you, you can talk to your wife and say, you know what? You can talk to your kids. You can look yourself in the mirror and say, you know what? I'm a Christian. I ought to believe in God. Amen. You know what Jesus said right before he left? One of the last things he said, He says that these signs will follow all Christians. Don't say that. He says these signs will follow those who believe. And then he lists a bunch of supernatural things that all kinds of your friends will say can never happen. It don't make any difference if your friends say they can't happen. What makes a difference is when you say they can't happen. Can we put our faith in God today? Yes. With every head bowed and every eyes closed, maybe you don't know Christ, but maybe today, maybe you're not in the family of God, and you want Jesus to be the Lord of your life. You want to give up control. You want to know that you're going to go to heaven, be with God for the rest of your life, forever and ever and ever. You know, that promise is to you. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. I'm gonna just lead you. I'm not going to call you up to the front. We're not going to have you go in a back room. We're not going to do any of that. We're just going to pray right now. If that's you, raise up your hands. I want to pray with you. All hands up all over the place. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. You know what? That's mainly not for me. That's mainly for God, that he would see your action to say, I want that. Now, can you repeat? I'm going to say this prayer. Can you repeat this prayer after me? And if you're already in the family of God, can you pray with them to just support them? Can we say this together? God, come into my heart. I need you. I'm sorry for me controlling my life. Become my Lord. You take control. I give you control. I thank you for all my sins are washed away because of the blood of Jesus. In his name I pray. Amen. Can you say amen? All right. Before we dismiss, I want to pray for one more thing. Somebody, and you're already in the family of God, but you've been running your life too much with nobody bowing their heads and with everybody looking around. Will you raise up your hand and say, Pastor, you are speaking to me today, and I want you, look at that, all over. Hey, can God still use people? God can still use you. He's got great plans for you. Let's put our trust in him. Amen. Father, you see our hands raised up. We want to be used by you, God. Use us. We put our trust, our faith for mates, for marriages, for relationships, for children, for finances, for wholeness, for peace, for joy, for comfort, for a willingness to do what you've asked us to do. Father, we say yes to you in Jesus' name. Listen, I'm so proud of you. My wife's going to come up and share, and then we're going to dismiss you in a minute.
All right, awesome. Can you put Romans 8:28 back up there really quick? When it says, pay attention to when it says love God, every time you see love talking about with God in your Bible, you can always change love into obey. Because that's how God tells us from the Word of God that we love him. And I bring that up because it's so important. How many of you turned on a light or some kind of electricity today? Put your hand in the air. Okay. Do you know that they told Thomas Edison he could never, you're never, never going to be able to do this? It's ridiculous. How many of you have ever been on an airplane? Me too. You know, they told the Wright brothers they were crazy. It's never going to happen. I had one more that was really, I know. How many of you own a car or have ever driven in a car? That's funny. It's a good thing that the Wright brothers and Thomas Edison and Henry Ford, and actually there was a guy before him, but I don't know his name, that came up with all this stuff that have enhanced our life that we enjoy today. If they had listened to men and women around them, we would not have these things that we have. We would not have the benefits of them. We would not have the blessing of them. I don't know about you, but whether you're brand new in the family of God today or whether you've walked with the Lord for a while, here's what I learned in my walk that I want to share with you. People are constantly advising me on the things of God. From when I first began to seek God, and people would tell me, oh, the Bible's not real. Don't you know there's all kinds of mistakes in the Bible? Don't you know that, really? Here's the deal. From the time that I began to tithe and they tell me about the tithe to the time I began to believe God for healing and they had all kinds of things to tell me about healing, to right now when I'm seeking God to walk into the miraculous that God said that I could, they got a lot to say about that too. So here's what I want to say. Don't let anyone, except for the Word of God, teach you. And people who are pointing to the Word of God. Do you understand that? God has given pastors, shepherds, we're back to that local church, aren't we? That we can have a body of believers that we can look at the teachings and be sure about what God is saying and not let people twist and manipulate it. This is more important than anything. Way more important than a car, way more important than electricity, way more important than an airplane. I'm so thankful that I have just not allowed people to talk me out of that which God has said to me.